This is the Black and Blue Report presented by ABC Insurance Agencies, a better choice for insurance. Now from Studio B, or wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's Sean Kelly.
Hi friends, welcome into the Black and Blue Report podcast. I'm Sean Kelly, so glad you're with us on this Wednesday. It is a very busy time for us, and it is an emotional time for us too, as today marks the beginning of the final goodbyes to Tom Benson, Saints and Pelicans owner. Visitation underway currently on this Wednesday at Notre Dame Seminary. It continues tomorrow for the public until 1 p.m., and then on Friday, an invitation-only funeral mass at St. Louis Cathedral. So that reality, that process, that celebration is underway. We're mindful of all, and we're thankful for all that are have been pouring in just all kinds of well wishes, condolences, support, everything. And of course, we're channeling all that to Mrs. Gail Benson right now. So keep that in mind. We'll talk about what happens later in the week a little bit later in our podcast today. By the way, this town is going to be kind of, I wouldn't say turned upside down, but it will be an event that I don't think many will forget for a long, long time, in that obviously we're saying goodbye to one of the more prominent citizens in our community. And to help us do that, there will be a ton of dignitaries also here coming into New Orleans, starting today through tomorrow and Friday. NBA and NFL commissioners, fellow owners of NBA and NFL franchises, civic leaders, of course, church leaders, all of that will be in play here. And the media coverage will be unprecedented. As I understand it right now, all three of the local television and network affiliates are carrying Friday's funeral mass live. There is already a ton of media over at Notre Dame Seminary covering visitation. Our own John DeShazer and our digital media team here with the New Orleans Saints is going to offer up some coverage today as well. So you'll, if you're not able to actively participate in these ceremonies, you'll certainly understand and get a feel for what they're all about due to all this media coverage and everything else. So with that being said, if you have any questions, you're certainly welcome to call us here at the New Orleans Saints. And otherwise, we'll steer you digitally to NewOrleansSaints.com if you still have any questions about how all that goes down. Switching gears, Pelicans winners last night. They have won now two this week, and they've started this this process off the right way, a process involving a back-to-back-to-back, which tonight is game two. The Indiana Pacers are in town. This is why it is a back-to-back-to-back. This was the postponed game from the leaking roof of the Smoothie King Center back in February, early February. And so, therefore, this makeup game, if you will, is what's wedged in between last night's win over Dallas and tomorrow night's guys' night out game against the Los Angeles Lakers. So that's why this is happening for the first time since the lockout shortened season of 2011-12. We'll talk about the Pelicans and where they stand at 41 wins and their place in the Western Conference standings with David Wesley. It's a Wesley Wednesday, and it's a bonus edition. We have an extended visit today with David because obviously there's so much to talk about. So we're going to cover a lot of things with David today. And then in our last segment of today's podcast, a little NFL free agency through the lens of the New Orleans Saints. We've got, I think by my count, seven new free agents in the fold. Several have visited with us here at Studio B, and John DeShazer has done the bulk of the work on that. We're going to share a couple of those visits with you on this Wednesday as well. So busy, busy, busy. So glad you're with us. We'll continue after a timeout with Pelicans basketball Fox Sports New Orleans analyst David Wesley.
In 1907, Dixie Beer was a balanced, refreshing lager, brewed with love and top-quality ingredients. It would grow to become something that connected us. The neighborhood beer of every New Orleans neighborhood. And now, Dixie is back to that 1907 recipe. Original and reinvented, just like its hometown. Visit DixieBeer.com to learn more. And always drink Dixie responsibly. Dixie Brewing Company, New Orleans, Louisiana.
The New Orleans Pelicans have the perfect way for you to do it big with your buds by scoring the Guys Night Out six-pack presented by Loft 18. Packages are available for select Pelicans home games throughout the season and include 2 tickets, 4 beers, and a $20 gift certificate to Loft 18, your ultimate indoor golfing experience, all for as low as $50. Do it big with the next Guys Night Out six-pack presented by Loft 18 on Thursday, March 22nd against the Los Angeles Lakers. Visit Pelicans.com to plan your Guys Night Out today.
Guess what day it is?
Hump day?
Well, yeah, and it's Wesley Wednesday on the Black and Blue Report.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. Wesley Wednesday now with David Wesley from Fox Sports New Orleans. 11 to go now for the New Orleans Pelicans. They've won 2 this week already. Strangely enough, there's still 3 games to go, including on this Wednesday night, a visit by the Indiana Pacers, which was postponed from a month ago. David, good morning. Glad to have you.
Good morning. Yeah, good. It's good to be here. Good to get Wesley Wednesday started.
Yes, and these Wesley Wednesdays become more and more important as we progress here. A win last night for the Pelicans, a win over the Jazz for Atlanta. There was a few things that helped the cause last night, and it's going to take something like that probably each and every night the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough run. But I think if you think about, you know, the games that you can win, you have to win those. And don't think, you know, kind of abstract. You know, it's 6 games. I predicted that they had to go 15-10 to get in. And I think right now, I think that number is going to be probably just about right. If they win 15 of their last 25. They should get in. The magic number is 9 when it comes to the Denver Nuggets. They're at 33 losses, 38 wins, and any combination of 9 would put them out. So if the Pelicans can win 5 and they lose 4, and they seem to be struggling right now, not playing great, so it could happen. They're 5-5 in their last 10.
David, can I get greedy and get past just getting in and saying that I'd like to not be 8? Just to, I don't know, not be 8.
Well, you know what? It would be a shame, the fact that the Pelicans have been as high as 4. And probably over the last, you know, several weeks, they've been hovering around that 4 or 5. They did dip to 8, but it was a tie with, you know, 3 other teams. So it would be nice. It would be really nice. You know, to slot into that 5 spot. They're in the 5th spot right now. They have the Spurs again, who is in 6. So, you know, technically they could. I mean, there's no reason not to think that they won't be the 8th place team, if they kind of take care of business down the stretch.
This next question is going to sound a little strange, but with 11 games to go, can there be any more question marks with regard to the New Orleans Pelicans? Do we know all that we're going to know about this team?
Yeah, I kind of think so. I think if, you know, there hasn't been a ton of surprises. I think there have been some good developments in that you're getting more production out of more guys. Chet Diallo has been playing great. Ian Clark has found his groove, and you know you're getting that steady, you know, play whatever you need kind of thing out of Mecca Okafor. I still think Mirotić can be better. Drew and AD, you know pretty much what you're going to get, and so you know I just think it's about them and their approach and getting their rest and taking care of their bodies and getting off their feet when they can and finishing strong. I don't know if there's anything, and I mean, unless you can think of something, I don't know if there's anything that's going to surprise us necessarily coming down the stretch.
No, I think I'm in agreement with you. I will say this, though. Even though last night was a win, I didn't like not having Drew Holiday. if I can use a double negative, sorry about that. What about you? It was one of those you don't know what you've got till it's gone type thing. No holiday last night was the difference.
Well, here's the good thing about that. The Pelicans still won, and I didn't love it either. But other guys got a chance to kind of shine a little bit, especially a guy like Ian Clark, who played the one and the two, and I thought he did a really good job doing that. And it also gives Holiday a game's rest, his first game to miss all season. And with this three in a row, you need him to be pretty good in these next two. So, you know, the fact that he rested might not be the worst thing, especially since the Pelicans won anyway.
At this hour of our visit, he is questionable for tonight. We'll see how that goes, certainly. I'm glad you mentioned Diallo and Clark. Ian Clark, David, is one of those guys that I never really got down on Ian Clark all season long. I just kept waiting and with anticipation to see if there was more there. And boy, has he shown us something here of late. Why is that?
I think, and, you know, Joel and I talk about it a lot. With this three-point idea that we have to shoot threes, everybody shoots threes, let's get out there and shoot threes. When you shoot and miss, psychologically that wears on you. And the more you do it, it wears on you. And just as you can shoot and miss and it wears on you, you can shoot and make and change your whole mentality. Well, to me, he's got off the three-point line. He's driving, he's shooting his floaters, he's getting all the way to the basket. Early in the season, I thought, you know, he could go out there and shoot three shots and they'll all be threes. Contested threes or guys running at him. Get off the line. I think the same thing for Mirotić. He comes in and his first shot will be 35 feet, somewhat guarded. He shoots two of those and now it's on his mind that he's missing shots. And it's a pressure to make shots. You know you're not shooting the ball well, so it's a pressure. Get a couple of layups. Get one or two easy ones. Now you get two free ones, in my opinion. And you're still shooting 50%. So stop, get off the line. And I think that's been the difference in Ian Clark. He's been a better playmaker as well as scorer because he's off the line, he's shooting his floaters, and he's in the middle of the paint.
Did Cheick Diallo surprise the coaching staff, or did they know that he was ready to have the kind of impact he's given them the last couple weeks?
You know, I don't know what their thoughts were. I know they thought in some aspect that he didn't know what he was doing. And the only thing that was going to help Cheick after all the work he's put in is to play. And you had to trust Cheick, and it's up to Cheick to gain that trust. You know, he went out early and he would foul and be on the bench anyway. He had to earn their trust so that he could get out there and get some significant minutes, some extended portions of minutes to where he could show his energy, his effort, his youthful exuberance for playing. I mean, he is fun to watch because he looks like he's a kid having fun. And that gets into the rest of the team. He's having fun. They want to have fun. They want to do those things. And so now that he's gained a little bit of trust, he's got a little more minutes. He plays in more significant times, and he gives the guys that are playing a lot of minutes an opportunity. I think that second bench is going to help AD finish the season strong because he doesn't necessarily have to play a ton of minutes. Now, he played 35 last night, but he's been up around 39, 40. So they're trying to steal some time because that bench is able to kind of carry the load when those guys are out.
Speaking of stealing time, it never fails that there's something every week that I can talk to you about that I don't have the answer for because I haven't been there, haven't done that, but yet you probably have or have a better perspective about it. Two things I want to bring up to you. One is in reference to the stealing time thing. This back-to-back-to-back. I can look at it on paper. I can think about what it was like that one time I had it as a broadcaster during that shortened season in 11-12. But really, David, can you help me understand or gain the right perspective on what this means for the players and coaches here this week.
Well, for the players, and I was in the shortened season in 99, 50-game sprint from, I think it was the end of January, 1st of February to April. So it was a sprint, and each team probably had three, maybe even four sets of those, and they're excruciating. But the mental part for a player would be, I'm going to go out here and just play. I'm not going to think about tomorrow. I'm not going to think about yesterday. When I go in, I'm going to just play, and I'm going to give you my best, which is all you can do. Go out there and play 100% and give it your best. It's up to the coaches to figure out, to watch, to see, oh, he's laboring a little bit. He's tired. I need to get him out, get somebody else in. And trust as deep as your roster will allow. If you've ever played 11 guys, tonight might be the night you play 11 guys. If you've ever played, whatever you've played the most in any given game is as far as you'll have to go, because you're going to need those extra minutes. But it's up to the players to just go out there and play. If you play 5 minutes, play it hard, come and sit down. If it's extended, which Alvin talked about, not, you know, lessening those stretches where guys may play 12 minutes, now they may only play 8 minutes. And that's kind of the mental aspect of it. You know it's coming. It's been on the schedule for a few weeks now. You just play the games in front of you.
It seems simple. It really does.
It kind of is that simple, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you go out there and you play your minutes. I mean, you can't sit and worry about tomorrow or yesterday. You just, your body's going to feel tired. It's hard. Trust me. As a player, it is hard. That third game is like, holy cow. And especially the longer you're in the league, and I think at that point, in 99, I'd been in the league 6 years. So it's a long way from high school where, you know, in a high school tournament or AAU, which I didn't play, but these guys have played it, where you played, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or two games in one day and a third game on the next day. So it's been a little while since you've done that, but we've all done it. We've all been in those situations. It's just at a higher level.
Yeah, I get it. The other thing I wanted to lean on your player experience is this. After watching Rajon Rondo have another great game last night, David, have you caught yourself at all here recently saying, gosh, I wonder what it would have been like for me to play with Rajon Rondo?
And I've never played with a true point guard. I've always had guys that could score the basketball. The closest I would probably say I came to that was playing with Sherman, but I was a point guard as well. I was backing him up, Sherman Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I played with Kenny Anderson, Baron Davis, Eric Snow was a little bit like that, but he wasn't as dynamic a passer as Rondo is. So as a shooting guard, it would be absolutely fun, because you know if you get hot, now all you have to do is get to your spot. Now all you have to do is run hard, get out on the break. He's going to find you. And because he loves the assist so much, he wants, as soon as a guy gets hot, he's going to give you about three or four more heat checks. It would be absolutely a dream to play with somebody like Rondo, and I find myself thinking of my spots and what I would do to get involved and to play in this system all the time. And I can see him. I can see how, you know, I'll see a player and he's not really running all out. I'm like, man, if you'd have ran, you'd have got that ball. So it's fun to watch, and, yes, it would be fun to play with Rondo.
David Wesley from Fox Sports New Orleans with us here on the Black and Blue Report, a little extended visit today as there's so much to talk about. David, just two more things, and then I'll let you go, I promise. Solomon Hill has returned to the Pelicans lineup here this week. What's a realistic impact that Hill can have? What have you seen already in two, I guess, basically 8 to 11.5 minute stretches?
Well, I haven't seen anything. He hasn't really done anything. He's out there trying to get his sea legs, if you will. And trying to run, trying to get that field, trying to react to offensive players coming at him, seeing how that step or that turn or, you know, those things, trying to get some trust in what is in the back of his head, which is his hamstring. Nobody wants to feel that again. But what he is bringing is minutes. Another player, another quality player that you can put in, that you can trust, that can give other guys some minutes. He can, you know, and if you had to stick him down there at the four spot for a few possessions, you don't panic. You know, playing the three, if he's out there at the two guard, you don't panic. He can handle it for, you know, four or five possessions. So it's just minutes for these guys because it's a tough stretch. And, you know, you come up this three games and three nights and five and six nights, you have a day off and you play again. So it's not until after that that you have 2 days before your next game. This is going to be a tiring stretch and some tough games. So you need all the available bodies that you trust out there on the floor. He adds another one, and hopefully he can help some guys get a minute here, a minute there.
Yeah, okay. All right, all right. Excuse me. Last thing is this, David, and I realize that some people may hear our visit after the Wednesday night ball game against the Indiana Pacers, but for those that catch it before the game tonight, as you prepare for Pelicans and Pacers tonight, what's the most important thing? What's the top of mind for you?
Containing Oladipo. I think the records are similar. It's going to be, it's going to be one of those knockdown dragout. They're fighting for their, you know, their positioning in the playoffs as well. So, they don't shoot a ton of threes. They shoot a pretty good percentage. They don't get to the free throw line a ton. And they're middle of the pack scoring the basketball. So, not a dynamic team, but a team that's going to play you hard, play you tough, and they have to be ready to play. They can't really depend on or they can't use the excuse that we played last night and we got another game tomorrow. This team is in the bottom third in pace. So as much as the Pelicans can, with all their energy, they have to play their own pace, push the ball up the floor, and then figure out a way to slow down Oladipo, Collison. Guards that drive the basketball and get in the paint give the Pelicans trouble, and they have to find a way to limit those opportunities.
All right. Should be a fun one tonight. David, Wesley Wednesday is a highlight of my week, and not that there's ever been a downer with him, but I will say this. I'm enjoying this year's late March Wesley Wednesdays more than I did a year ago. Is that okay?
That's good. That's good. That means I'm getting better.
Well, that and the team's better, too. No offense.
No.
Good stuff. I appreciate the extra time today. I'll see you tonight at the gym.
Yes, sir. See you in a minute.
All right. David Wesley. Wesley Wednesday here on this Black and Blue Report. We'll take a break when we come back. We've got to get up to speed on a little bit of the New Orleans Saints free agency situation. We'll hear from some of the newest Saints in just a moment.
Boom! Now Uber takes you couch to courtside at the tap of a button. Heading to a Pelicans game? Uber helps you pass on the parking and focus on the fun. And if you're still an Uber rookie, you can get $20 off your first ride with code PELICANS18. Uber, a proud partner of your New Orleans Pelicans.
What is big? Big is an insatiable hunger for victory. Big is a fearsome front court with AD and Boogie. Big is packing the stands, showing your team colors, and making so much noise they give you the team ball. Come see the Pels hit the floor against Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony of the Oklahoma City Thunder, Sunday, April 1st. Visit Pelicans.com for tickets. New Orleans Pelicans. Do it big.
What's up, Black and Gold fans? This is Anthony Mackie, Seven War Soldier, Drew Brees' disciple. You are listening to the Black and Blue Report.
All right, welcome back. Let's talk a little New Orleans Saints football. We're now kind of getting into the secondary free agent phase, if you will. And we haven't really paused a whole lot here on Black and Blue Report to get up to speed or at least share with you some of the stuff that maybe you did not discover on your own at NewOrleansSaints.com on your Saints mobile app. But here as it stands right now, if you're scorecarding this thing, there's basically like seven key new free agent signings for the New Orleans Saints. And, of course, that includes Drew Brees. That includes new backup quarterback Tom Savage. Alex Okafor, I think, is very significant. And I think that there's some relation there on the other side of the parking lot, too, because Okafor is coming back from an Achilles injury. Of course, DeMarcus Cousins will be in that situation here in the months to come. So, with that being said, we're starting to at least hear from some of those guys and their reaction to either joining the Saints for the first time or rejoining this team, which we've had a little bit of a reboot on a couple of guys, too. John DeShazer had a chance to catch up with a couple of them. And notably here, we're going to hit a couple different spots. Number one, offensive line gets some help here. Now moving into the Senio Kelemente type role is a reboot. It's Jermon Bushrod. So he's now back with the black and gold. John DeShazer had a chance to catch up with Jermon here after his most recent signing.
Jermon, congratulations and welcome back. What are your thoughts about rejoining the Saints? You hadn't been here since 2012.
Yeah, it feels good, you know. It feels good to be back. This is the organization that gave me my opportunity. I was able to have some fun here, you know. We won a lot of games. We won a championship. I met my wife here, started my family here. So, you know, it feels good to be back, and there's a lot of happy people on both sides of my family.
You know, I know you're just getting your feet wet, but how significantly does it look like it's changed in those years?
Well, everything. I mean, this room we're sitting in, you know, the locker room, everything I've seen is a little different, you know, with the Pelicans right across the parking lot. You know, it's just a different setup, but from everything I hear, it's the same, you know, great culture. You got the same great fan base, and, you know, they're still winning, and the fact that I get to continue to further my NFL career, I get to come back to the place that gave me an opportunity, it makes me feel good.
You know, you're coming back at a different point in your career, obviously, now a seasoned vet. Your role will probably be different, but, you know, I guess explain your role and why you wanted to rejoin the Saints.
Well, like you said, it was home. You know, this is the first place that gave me an opportunity. But when it comes to my role, you know, I did spend the last 9 years going into the season as a starter. I know the reason they brought me back here was to be a swing guy, be a backup guy, help out in whatever way I can. And I'm happy to do that. You know, you have to sometimes sit back and realize that, you know, when I started out my career here, I didn't play at all. I was just fighting to get better. And then I got out, I had an opportunity to start. And I didn't look back, you know. I wanted to start every single year. But then I'm at the end of my career. I got banged up a little bit last year. Had to get some work done in the offseason. So I understand the role. And I'm okay with the role. I'm good with the role. And I'm excited about the role. And the fact that, you know, they called, you know, made me happy.
Another reboot, if you will, is on the defensive side of the football, and whether he ends up being a starting cornerback or maybe he's your slot guy, which really he's excelled at, Patrick Robinson has returned now to the New Orleans Saints after, I think, a pretty good run with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's happy to be back. As I understand it, this is a four-year deal for Patrick Robinson. John DeShazer also caught up with him in the last week.
Well, welcome back. What made the Saints an attractive destination for you or an attractive redestination for you?
I think business-wise, it just made more sense. And besides the business, my wife was, you know, kind of speaking all this into existence. She's been talking about New Orleans for the last couple months for some reason. Mm-hmm. And they called, and it was kind of like, okay, we might be going back home. And she kind of like helped make the decision with me.
What was it about New Orleans that she liked so much? Is she a New Orleans girl?
No, she's from Miami, but she has a lot of friends, which we consider family now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she was very excited about it. You know, she's the wifey, so happy wife, happy life.
Exactly. Now, you were obviously a Saint previously, went off, played, now you're back. What were some of the things that you learned about yourself when you left the organization and when you played for Philly?
You know what? When I left off, I think I kind of had to, like, find myself as far as my mental, I would say, strength. My first stint here, I was not mentally strong enough, you know, to play at a high level. You know, that's just me being brutally honest with myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I went to San Diego, I had a lot of success there. But when I went to Indy, I was kind of injured. And then my confidence kind of went down. And that's kind of like, you know, as far as a player that's, you know, that's been in the league at this point 5 or 6 years, you know, going to Indy, I kind of had to try to deal with that type of stuff. And I think now I've been through so much, it definitely helped me.
And finally, again, on the defensive side of the football, where, look, we saw the revamping of the Saints defense and the dividends it paid this last year. It's only getting better with guys like DeMario Davis coming in. This is a linebacker that will slide into this core, which I think had a very good season, although injury-riddled at times. But Davis now comes into the fold with his first run now as a New Orleans Saint. And from part of that interview that was featured on NewOrleansSaints.com, here's John DeShazer with DeMario Davis.
DeMario, welcome to the Saints. First of all, why the Saints?
Oh, man, this was an opportunity of a lifetime for me. Number one, to be playing in my backyard. I'm from Mississippi, so just a couple hours away, to be back close to my family after being on the other side of the country. Number two, having a chance to play for a championship-contending team. Last year, watching you guys, the Saints were right there, you know, and I just wanted to be a part of that. It looked like the culture was right. Team was right. Everything's clicking. I just wanted to be a part of that culture. And then thirdly, Drew Brees. point blank period. I mean, he's one of the most decorated quarterbacks to ever play this game. And, you know, it's probably three guys, if most, that are on his level in this league. And to have a guy on that side of the ball who can pretty much dictate games by himself is rare. And, you know, guys like myself, we appreciate that. And at this point in his legacy, it's about championships. And I just want to come in and be one of those guys that can help him get those.
How much of a sales job did it have to be for you to become a Saint? I mean, because, you know, you're coming to a team that's got several linebackers, obviously, but you're a guy who's been effective in that role. So how much of a sales job did it have to be? I know you mentioned you're from Mississippi, so obviously that helps having family close by, but how much did they have to sell you on it?
It wasn't much. For my situation, I think the hardest decision was me was going to be whether to stay or to leave. But when the Saints called my phone and reached out to us, they went to number one on my board. You know, I kind of held it close to chest, and but I was very intrigued. And when it got closer to time, you know, it became, you know, more true why. And they were number one on my board. And so at that point, I just prayed about it and said, God, I'm leaving it in your hands. And you know, I trusted my agent to get, you know, everything settled, and it worked out in our favor, and it was just a blessing when we finally were able to pull the trigger.
You know, you mentioned you've seen some of this team. Now, we won't ask you specifically what role they've asked you to play, but what do you bring to this defense?
I'm always been a guy who tries to be the same man on the field and off the field, to my teammates in the locker room, to my coaches, to the fans. I'm always just trying to be the same guy. My work ethic, I think, speaks for itself. I've just always prided myself to be the first guy in, last guy to leave. You know, and I'm chasing greatness, and individually and collectively. And, you know, I won't stop till I get there. And this team seems like, you know, that's what it's chasing as well. And so I'm just happy to be a part of the atmosphere.
All right, so there's just a little sampling of some of the stuff that JD was able to do with three of the free agent signings done here so far in this offseason by the New Orleans Saints. The full interviews, in case you have not been able to partake, are at NewOrleansSaints.com. good stuff there. We'll see what now moves forward. And, of course, we're going to be coming up on the NFL draft here soon enough, which means we'll be beginning our draft preview segments here in the coming weeks too. All right, that'll do it for us on this Wednesday for the Black and Blue Report. Again, thanks to JD and his work there. Great to talk some Saints and Pelicans. Of course, David Wesley, our featured guest today on a Wesley Wednesday. As we mentioned at the start of the show, ongoing visitation on this Wednesday and then tomorrow, partially on Thursday before Friday's funeral mass for Saints and Pelicans owner Tom Benson. There are details on NewOrleansSaints.com. There's going to be full-blown media coverage, as we talked about in the first segment as well. As a result of all this, we'll pause here on the Black and Blue Report until Monday, so no podcast Friday, and we'll be back with you on Monday. Between now and Monday, we'll have plenty more to talk about, of course, including the Pelicans, who still have one, two, three more games, and then Monday's a game day, and we'll be into basically the final. We'll be single digits by the time we come back to you on Monday with the Pelicans, and we'll reflect back on all that was involved in the celebration of Tom Benson's life, too. So, with that being said, have a great rest of your week. We'll hope to see you at the Smoothie King Center, perhaps at Notre Dame Seminary, or even at St. Louis Cathedral on Friday. For all involved with our podcast here this Wednesday, thank you so much. We really, really, really appreciate you making us a part of your day or evening or whenever. No appointment radio. Well, we like it. This is the Black and Blue Report. I'm Sean Kelly. We'll see you next time.